Welcome to the New Life Millbrook Weekly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message. For more information about this podcast or other resources, please visit nlmillbrook.com.
Lord. Hallelujah. Wow, what an awesome worship song. I love that song. But then I love any worship song, so I'm pretty flexible on that. So first off, thank you so much for coming tonight. We're so thrilled you're here. Yay. I don't know if word got out that I was speaking tonight, but you showed up anyway. That's awesome. I always am amazed that people come when I'm speaking. It's just fun. I'm so thankful to our pastors that they are willing to let me know and let me come and minister. It just is such a blessing. And I am so excited because the Lord has given me permission to share what he has taught me. And so probably it'll be real basic and just kind of a new, you know, just a refresher course for a lot of you. But maybe it'll put a couple of pieces together in a new way and bring new revelation and new light. So I'm really excited. He brought me to a new verse to minister from as I was praying. This is my great desire. Out of John 16:13, this is the verse, and then I'll give you the declaration that I came up with after that. It says, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, the truth-giving Spirit, comes, he will guide you into all truth, the whole full truth. For he will not speak his own message on his own authority, but he will tell whatever he hears from the Father. He will give the message that has been given to him, and he will announce and declare to you the things that are to come that will happen in the future." So this is my great desire. Just like Holy Spirit, who says only what he hears, I pray and declare that I will do not speak my own message or on my own authority, but I will tell what I hear from the Father. I will give the message that has been given to me, and I will announce and declare to you the things that are to come. That's out of John 16:13. But that's my prayer tonight, that I will declare to you the blessing, the goodness of God, the things that will come. The things that he's shown me, the message that he's given me, I'm sharing with you. And that's how awesome the body of Christ is, because that's exactly what pastors do. That's what we do in the hallways. We encourage one another with things that we've gone through, that God's gotten us through, and he'll get you through the same thing. Or something that sounds like worse or better or easier or whatever. You know, that he's going to take care of us and get us through, and not just get us through like, oh, barely. I just barely made it. No, he brings us through in victory. That's the goal. We're to come through, not just barely by the skin of our teeth. We're supposed to come through in victory. And so if I've gone through something and I came through by the skin of my teeth and I share with you that story, then you can come through in victory greater than what I got through. And then you share it with somebody else and maybe you get to them a little earlier than I got to you. And so we help encourage one another and we all get through at a better rate, right? And that's why we share. So when the enemy wants to make us think we're the only one that's ever gone through anything that was cruddy, okay, that was bad, that was terrible, and we're the only one that could possibly have ever gone through that, why? So we won't share our story so that other people can't get blessed by it and get through their victory faster. So here's an encouragement, okay? Now, I talked a couple of weeks ago about Jehovah Jireh, the God who sees and provides. Okay, some of you were here, a lot of you were here. The God who looked through all of eternity saw what we were going to need at any given moment. What any person in all of creation and all of history and all of time and all of eternity was going to need, he looked through all of eternity and saw what you would need, when you would need it, and saw to it that that need would be provided at the very moment it would be available when you need it, whatever it is, because you're a child of God. And he knew you'd be a child of God. And the good thing is, he even provided for those who refused to be children of God. Because he's that good. Because he will not be they will not be able to stand and say, well, you wouldn't provide for me. No, 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 no. These are all the things that he provided for you. And you didn't claim them. It's not his fault if you didn't claim them. Okay, so let's go back to schools. Okay, everybody's getting ready for school. Some people started today, some people start next week, some of them started, you know, whatever, different schedules. But some parents have been buying things since last year at the clearance events for this year, okay? They're the ones who plan ahead. Then there are other parents who maybe got started at Christmas. They finished up at Christmas and they started buying for school supplies. Maybe they bought a pair of shoes and they bought the next size up. Then there are those who bought at the end of school year. They got we know we're going to need it. Then there are those who hadn't bought it yet, and school started today for some of them. And then there are those who the school starts next week, and they aren't even thinking about it yet. Okay? So, and there are ones who literally at the end of, they have a parent orientation here the night after school starts so they can talk to the parents and tell them what they need. So if they don't have something, they can go out and get it. Okay? Even though we've had a list since May. Okay, so parents prepare for what your kids need, right? If a parent can, even if they're procrastinating, still see to it that their kids are prepared for what they're going to need for school, can we not expect that God prepared for what we're going to need? There's a confidence that we should be able to have. He's a good father. He's not a lazy father. He's not a negligent father. He's not a delinquent father. He is a good, 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 faithful, loving father. And he provides for us whatever we have need of. Now, he has a couple of rules. I was talking to the Lord about something the other day, and I was saying, you know, Lord, I have this situation with one of my kids. I tell him to do something, and he goes, oh, yes, ma'am, I'll do it. And then he forgets. He's not meaning to. He always apologizes. Oh, I'm so sorry. I'll do that right away. And then he forgot. And then I'll do this. And I bet none of you can probably figure out which kid it is. It's certainly not Beth. I can guarantee that. But anyway, and he's always willing to do it. He's always willing. He's always wanting to. But he wasn't doing it. And I was letting him get away with it. Okay, and it was something little. Bring glasses out of your room. You know, he's got every plastic cup in our house in his room. And it's only water. It's not like there's something, and they're all empty. There's not anything growing in them. It really wasn't a big deal until Holy Spirit said, you're teaching him and training him to be negligent. Oh, why? Because I wasn't correcting the behavior. It wasn't that he didn't want to. But the Bible says those who are willing and obedient eat the good of the land. I was teaching him his willingness was enough. And that's not good enough. We can be willing before our Father. Oh yeah, God, I want to get up in the morning and study your word. I want to. I want to. I want to. I'll do it tomorrow. I'm tired today. I'll do it tomorrow. I want to. I'll spend time with you tomorrow. If we put it off, we are teaching ourselves and allowing ourselves to be negligent of what? The most vital connection in our life. Okay? It's like cutting the air hose off for an underwater diver. Okay? Shark Week was on last week. We got to watch Shark Week. I've never in my life before watched Shark Week. But my kids paid over the top to figure out a way to watch Shark Week for free. And I thought, if they're going to go that much diligence, I'm going to sit and watch it with them. And it wasn't near as bad as I thought it would be, because I'm a scuba diver. And I thought, that's going to be terrifying, make me never want to scuba dive again, which I have not done since I had kids. And as soon as they're out and I can afford it again, probably I'll go back. But they had one group of divers, and they were going after abalone or something. And it was in cold water, and they're going down deep, and they've got a hose coming down, and they're in shark-infested waters, and it makes big, really exciting water sound. But if their water hose is cut off, they've got seconds to head to the top. And they better do it right, because if they don't, they'll die on the way. Okay? You can't afford to get your air hose cut off. And your air hose, the only connection you have that is your life source, is to the Father. That's our life source. It is. And, you guys know that. We all know that. But sometimes we need that. You know what? It really is a big deal to bring those glasses out of your room. It really is a big deal to be obedient. It really is a big deal. It may seem like a small thing, but we're training for bigger and better things. This is not the big show. Okay? The big show's coming. Have you seen the news? We've got I wouldn't recommend watching a whole lot of it, to be quite honest with you. But this world is in a mess. And this world needs lights. And if we're dim, we got to wait for it to get darker before we show up. I'd rather be bright and show up now. Because then, you know, when you're bright, the darkness is further away. The brighter you are, the further the darkness is. I really don't want to be in this little bitty tiny light and the darkness is right there, and if I move, I'm it. I don't want to be like that, where I've just barely got a little bitty tiny dot of light around me. I want to be a big shining light, because I don't like the things that the darkness can do. But the good news is, I don't have to put up with the stuff the darkness can do. Because another thing that the Lord taught me, and that I've learned some in the good way and some the hard way, is I have authority. I have authority. You have authority. We all have authority. We can rule and reign in this life. How? How do you rule and reign? I got the opportunity. I've had a lot of times to spend with my kids this summer. I've taken the opportunities when I had the opportunities. My first year to work outside the home for the summer. And so they're home and I'm not. So when I have time with them, I'm spending time with them. And I'm spending quality time with them, whether it's watching Shark Week or going to the gym or whatever else we're able to do. We go walk at the park or something. We're doing something. And this week I took Joshua, and we went. He loves to go exercise in the morning. That child loves it. He won't get up for anything else in the morning, but he loves to exercise in the morning. And so we're getting up 5 o'clock in the morning because I got to be back in time to get ready to leave for work early so I can drive an hour to go to work. So 5 o'clock, we are up. 5:30, we're out the door, and we go exercise. So we got a chance to go for a walk because he was asking me some questions. We had situation in our neighborhood that shouldn't have happened. Somebody broke the law, shouldn't have happened, okay? And I was talking to him about what can we do? What do we have to do to not be afraid, to not be concerned, to take our authority? And he knows the word. He knew every scripture that I read, I quoted to him for 45 minutes because he got a man lecture. I mean, he had a lecture about walking in authority. But the awesome part was he knew every scripture. When we went through and put them through one by one by one, it made this big picture, and now he understands how to use those words that he already knows, put it into place, and walk it out. So let's start with a couple of things. Who has authority? We have authority, but where do we get our authority? We get it from the Lord. The Lord got it. How? Think about it. You got to know. If somebody asks you, if you're trying to lead somebody to the Lord, or if you're trying to talk to somebody and they're like, well, what makes you think you've got authority? How do they know? If we don't think about what our answers are going to be, how do we know how to answer somebody? Because if we just give one off the cuff, yes, Holy Spirit will lead us. Yes, He will help us. But if we're thinking about it ahead of time, it's a little, you know, get a little peek at the test. Just know it ahead of time. What kinds of things that makes it? Okay, so in the beginning, there's one kingdom. Then there was high treason. Okay? The first treason was Lucifer rebelled against God. He tried to create another kingdom. Then he convinced Adam to serve him instead of God. So now he's got Adam working under here, under this other kingdom, as a slave. Okay? Jesus comes, defeats that second fake kingdom that was tried to set up, totally destroyed it. What did he do? He went to hell. He defeated Satan. He got the keys to hell and the grave. Revelation 1:18. Make sure I got that right. 17 and 18. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as if dead. This is John. But he laid his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last and the ever-living one. I am living in the eternity of the eternities. I died, but see, I am alive forevermore. and I possess the keys of death and Hades, the realm of the dead. That's Jesus. He died, but he's alive forevermore. He got the authority. He led captivity captive. He had a parade and took his captives and paraded them through before all of creation. See, I won. I have the victory parade. Ticker tapes and everything, I bet. I bet you that was some more kind of party in heaven. I'm going to look for the video of that one. I bet you that was fun. Okay, so now he didn't just keep that authority for himself. What did he do? He comes back, he talks to the disciples, and he tells them, see, I have all authority in heaven and in earth. It's all mine. Now you go. What does that do? He says, now you go and use my name, gives you power of attorney to use his name to do whatever he would do. What would he do? What would God do? What would Jesus do? I mean, that was a fun thing, and it was a rave for a long time. What would Jesus do? Well, it's still a good idea. Think about, what would Jesus do in this situation? If you're walking through your house, let's say you got kids, or maybe just came in, you took your coat off and your bag or whatever, and you put your groceries down, you laid them on the back of a chair, okay, and you walk out. 5 minutes later, you come back through, and that bag was too heavy, and it tipped the chair over, and everything's sitting on the floor, and the chair's bent over. What are you going to do? Step over it? Keep going? Leave it there for a week? Probably not. You're going to pick it up. You're going to put the coat away. You're going to put the groceries away. You're going to put your stuff away. You're going to set the chair back up. Why? Because it's your house. It's what you're going to do. Right? Every one of us would do that. Okay, if we're walking through God's kingdom and his house and we see something out of place, something that fell over that obviously shouldn't be there, shouldn't we put it back just the same way? Next time you see somebody bent over, can hardly move, stop and ask them if you can pray for them. Pick up the chair. Just take a moment. Just a moment. Most of us would go, oh, I can't because I have no power to heal them. You're right. The power comes from the authority and the name. That's where we get the power. That's where we get the authority. If we use that power and authority, if we start thinking it's all about us, then we have violated what Pastor Marcia and Nate were talking about this last week. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Why? Because he cares for us. He cares, so we submit. Because we know he cares. But when we submit, we can feel and see what he cares about and do it. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to do what he cares about. What does he care about more than anything else? People. People. He cares about people more than anything else. So our number one priority as we go through life should be people. Other people. Nate said last weekend, he's looking at me like, what? Submit to the process and God will be allowed to move. Breakthrough requires breaking something, bad habits and blockages. Okay? We've got bad habits, not bringing the glasses in, not picking up the chair, not ministering to the people that God puts in front of us. It's a bad habit. Why? Because we're busy? Because we think, I don't have time, I'm not good enough, I hadn't spent enough time doing whatever. I hadn't spent enough time praying. I hadn't spent enough time in the Word. I hadn't spent enough time with God. You know what? The devil would try to tell you if you spent every minute of every day except for 1 minute in 1 week or 1 month, he would say, you hadn't spent enough time. You're not good enough. He would. There's not enough time for the devil to stop saying you don't have enough time. You have now spent enough time. He's not going to ever tell you that. He's not. Never one time. But the good news is he's a liar. So if he's telling you you hadn't spent enough time and you're not good enough, guess what? Thank you, Mr. Devil, for confirming. I have all the authority I need. It's not about how much time we spend with God. It's about whose name we're using. Do we need to spend time? Yes, we need to spend time with God. But even if we haven't, and he put somebody in there, he's going to show you, I'm going to work through you even when you aren't perfect. Because I knew you weren't perfect when I called you. And I knew that you'd be in this state right here today. And I knew this person would be in this. And I planned I was going to use you to minister to them. Because they need it. And I'll use you because you'll step out. And so he's teaching us, branch that light out a little bit more. Turn the wattage up just a little bit. Give it a little more juice. It's important. It's awesome. It's a huge privilege. So we need to watch a couple of things that we're doing. We need to watch what we're saying. Pastor talked this weekend too about we know to do it, but we don't. We got to make sure we do what we know to do. Just do what you know to do. Then as we add in things, God will add, he'll tweak it. He'll add little things to it. He'll help expand our understanding and our knowledge so that when we come up against something that's like, okay, God, what do I do here? He's going to give us the answer. He's going to help us. If we'll listen and tune in to him, okay? We're not listening with our head. Listen with your spirit. Listen with your spirit. Okay, what does that mean? Steve and I went on a mission trip 15 years ago. And that mission trip, they had the guys sleeping in one bunk room. It was a big, you know, bunch of bunk beds in one building, and the ladies sleeping in another bunk set of bunk beds in another building. We'd been married for quite a while. Never been apart. We hadn't traveled apart. We hadn't, nobody had business where we traveled apart, hardly ever. I missed him. I got where he wears his keys on the side of his hip. And he walked around the corner, and I never turned. I never looked. I heard the sound of his steps and the sound of the keys, and he was 20 feet away, and I knew it was him. I knew it because I was tuned in, and my radar was going, where is he? Okay? We do that with Holy Spirit. We can do that with God. God, it takes a tuning in on purpose. Why? Because we love him and we miss him. Why? Because he cares for us. Because we want that closeness with him. It's more important to us than our next meal. It's more important to us than our next breath. And the closer we get with him and the more we focus on that, the sharper our senses become to him. The sharper our attention is to notice him. How do you practice it? How do you practice that? Have your time in prayer. Have your time in Bible study. And then literally be still and seek him with your spirit. Be still and know I'm God. We hear that verse, but practice it. Be still. And then focus on getting your spirit to go. Amp it up. Tune it up. Holy Spirit, where are you? What are you saying to me? I've talked. Now I want to be quiet and listen to you. Make your body be quiet. Make your mind be quiet. And listen. Once you get used to that, doesn't take a long time because he wants to be with you. He wants to talk to you. But it takes as long as it takes. If it takes a day, oh my goodness, you spend a day. Maybe you spend 15 minutes every day for a month. And then by the end of that month, you're like, I recognize your voice, Holy Spirit, better than I did My antennas are higher. Okay? If it took that long, would it be worth it to hear the voice of God? Let's think about this. A couple of miracles I've heard about lately. The lady whose son was thrown off the balcony in Minneapolis, okay? He was released from ICU. He's a miracle that he's alive. She knew not to go in that building, and she overran it. And that's the hardest thing about that prayer request, is she knew it. She knows how to listen to the Holy Spirit. She had a feeling of dread going in there and thought, oh, I don't want to upset this person. She probably wouldn't understand. I'm going to push through and go. Hindsight's 20/20, and I certainly am not going to stand in judgment of her. But that's a hard thing for a mom to go through. Because that son's been through a lot. Yes, he's healed. Yes, he's a miracle. Yes, he's healed, and he is getting better every day. But at the same time, that's a hard thing for a parent to go through. We live in a time where you have to, listen to me, you have to follow Holy Spirit and go where he tells you to go and don't go where he doesn't tell you to go. Practice that by, which direction do I drive to work today? Which road do I take, Lord? There's three ways I can go. Any direction, any place I go, there's three ways I can get there. We got roads everywhere. Lord, do I go left or right here? Do I take the interstate or the back roads? I learned to do that when we lived in Verbena, and I would avoid getting stuck on the interstate when there was a wreck that shut the interstate down. If you're traveling, which way do I go? Do I go through Atlanta or Chattanooga? Do I go through New Orleans or Baton Rouge? Which way do I go? What do I do? What clothes do I wear today, God? You know what the temperature is going to be. You know whether it's going to rain and be 150 degrees percent humidity, or if it's going to rain and suddenly be 72 degrees and still 150 degrees humidity. He knows. I don't. Pick something simple. What am I going to do? And practice hearing God's voice. As we practice hearing God's voice, we can trust him, and we can know he's going to tell us what to do and what not to do. And as we listen to him, we're going to stay safe. Then there's another option, another thing to do. Not an option, but a thing to do. Take your authority. Take your authority. How many people have ever heard about pleading the blood of Jesus? Okay. How about those who... Okay, so there's some who have not heard about that or just wouldn't raise your hands. We're going to assume you've not heard about it. Because I don't want anybody to not know. All right? It is the blood of Jesus that gives us access to the Father. Without the remission of sins, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. That means I am only clean because of what Jesus did. That's the only reason that I can go before the Father with boldness, with cleansing. I am righteous before him. I'm not a sinner saved by grace. I was a sinner. I was saved by grace. Now the Father sees me as righteous, as if sin never happened. Okay? Because I am a new creature. That old creature that was sin, that was sinner, that was saved by grace, that creature is dead. I am a new creature now in Christ Jesus. And because of that, I am clean. And goodness, I'm so thrilled. His mercies are new every morning. So if I messed up yesterday, all I have to do is ask him, forgive me. If I messed up 3 minutes ago, Father, forgive me. That was sin. I renounce it. I turn from it. I'm clean before him, and I can go right back on as if sin never happened, because he's that good, and because the blood of Jesus was that perfect. It has nothing to do with my perfection. It has my only thing it has to do with me is, am I willing to be obedient to what Jesus did and accept what he did as my cleansing? So it's by faith. All right? So when we are praying, we can, by the blood of Jesus, step in to that protection that he gives us. All right? So let's say you're getting in the car, you're driving to work. Father, I plead the blood of Jesus over this trip, over my family today. I'm asking you, Father, I'm reminding you. See, the blood is the covenant. And the covenant is everything. It's every promise. Every good thing God promised us and every protection he promised us and everything is in the covenant. So we get to the covenant through the blood. So we remind him, Father, I'm reminding, it's not like he forgot, but I'm putting it fresh on my mind, and by faith, I'm taking the protection that that blood affords. I'm taking the blessing that blood affords, that covenant affords me. So I plead the blood. Father, I'm coming to you according to the blood. What Jesus did for me was enough. And I thank you that because of what he did for me, my family is safe today. My family is protected today. I plead the blood of Jesus over Steve, Beth, Matthew, Joshua, and myself. I plead the blood of Jesus over Steve's dad and his family. I plead the blood of Jesus over my mom and my family, my brothers and sisters and their spouses. And I plead the blood of Jesus over New Life Christian Center and everything that has to do with it, and every person that comes on this campus at any point, over my pastors, that they hear the voice of God and they know what to do at any given moment and in every situation. I plead the blood of Jesus. When I do that, my faith comes up like a lion. Because I know what the covenant promises me. That covenant promises me protection, provision, blessing, good things, favor. Father, I thank you that your favor goes before me as a shield. And that nobody comes in contact with any one of these people I've mentioned except they come through your favor first. And so they have a tendency to favor my family. They have a tendency to favor us. I thank you that we have the mind of Christ. And everything we do, we think like you think. Pastors taught us so many times. The Bible does say that your thoughts are not my thoughts. My thoughts are not your thoughts and my ways are not your ways. But it was the rebellious people. I'm not rebellious. So I'm going to declare, I have the mind of Christ. I think like God thinks because he puts his thoughts in my thinker and helps me think them. Little Dr. Seuss there, but if he said him think his thoughts through my thought, I mean, he can think his thoughts any place he wants them. He can put them in my brain if he wants to. But he's not going to do it if I don't take it in faith. Because everything we get is by faith. Everything we get is by faith. So as we think about those things, see, that's something you kind of laid back aside. It's that's that school supply you bought it last year at the thing, and you forgot it was there. Go back and pick it up. Pull it out again. Oh, yeah, I got this. And you can use it now when you need it. So using that authority, taking that protection, pleading the blood of Jesus over your school, over your location, see into it. And then taking authority and turning to that second kingdom that tried to come up around God. Well, you know what? It still tries to come up. That kingdom still tries to rise up and play havoc and have carnival in your house. Okay? So we take authority over that. That's what the authority of the believer is. And that's why we have it. And that's what we do with it. It's not just, ooh, I got authority. Praise the Lord. No, we got to use it. I got a sword of the Spirit, but if I don't use it, it gets dusty. We had a situation this last weekend. Steve was working on a project, and he had very easily, he was putting wires on a, lights on a trailer, very easily done 99% of the entire job. Got down to one bolt, and that one bolt was rusted and would not move. He did everything. That one bolt would not move. He finally said, you know what? I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to get the Sawzall, and I'm going to cut that bolt off. So we got the Sawzall. We started cutting. And I was standing there watching him. My Sawzall. And I was standing there watching him. He's got the Sawzall. He's cutting it. And that is just spinning. It wasn't cutting. No, it's a demolition blade. It's a bimetal. It's the right kind of blade. It's the right kind of everything. It was dull, and it wouldn't cut through that bolt, because that bolt was rusty enough to not get the nut off of it, but it wasn't so rusty that it would just break. So he tried it and tried it and tried it and tried it, about, I don't know, 5 minutes of cutting that bolt, and it would not cut. He finally said, you know what, I'm going to go to the store and buy another blade. I was like, ooh, I'll go too. So we went to the store and we bought another blade and some other stuff that I needed. And I mean, sorry, but hardware stores are my thing. I love them. It's just weird, but it is. So we got the stuff that I wanted to and came back. He put the blade on the Sawzall and literally cut it in less than 5 seconds. Sometimes you need to take an hour. Go sharpen your blade. And I hope that's what this hour has been. Sharpening your blade. It's not that you didn't know the stuff. It's not that it wasn't the right tools you were using. It wasn't that you weren't applying it right. Sometimes we just need to take a little bit of time, sharpen that blade. And when we sharpen that blade, we come back in, whoosh, there goes the enemy's attack. It's done. It's broken. Pastor Marcia mentioned on Sunday, after Nate had talked about submitting to the process, Pastor Marcia added, it's because he loves us that we cast our cares on him. And then the Lord gave me, he reminded me about that bolt, taking that time and getting that that hour and getting a new edge on your blade. What blade would that be? The sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit is our offensive weapon to cut the head off of the enemy, to stop his attacks. We don't wrestle with flesh and blood. That person bowing up at you at work and the passing by and the on the lane at the in the fast lane when you wanted to get over, that person is not your enemy. The people on the news are not your enemy. The people that bring you the most angst and stress and struggle, they are not your enemy. They are people that God loves. But there's an enemy goosing them. And I know that from personal experience. I've given my testimony here before. I know what it happened. I know exactly the moment that I was attacked by one of those ticks Pastor was talking about the other day. You know, he talked about getting that tick on him. It was just he was in this place. I know exactly where I was. I was standing backstage. I was waiting to go on stage for a skit for a Spanish convention when I was in high school. And one of the young men found a prop in the back of the stage area, and it was a snake. I grew up with brothers. I mean, I wasn't afraid of snakes. If I had been afraid of snakes, I'd have died with those brothers. I got in a car one day, and they had one wrapped around the rearview mirror, and they just wanted to see if I'd scream, and I went, oh, cool, snake. Didn't bother me. But this time, this person put this snake right here on my shoulder, and I turned around and saw just the head of it right there, and it was a prop. It looked real. I screamed. I jumped about my thigh right here, has a scar on it from hitting something that was about right here. And I came back down, and I was a teenage girl, did not know the word, tiny bit of the word. And I knew just enough, not of the word, but of social circumstances, that if I did not act a certain way in that situation, they would ridicule me. And so I laughed. And the spirit of fear latched on right then, right there. Took me 18 years to do two things. One, realize what it was. I tried every human thing possible to get rid of that fear that I did not understand. I could not grasp in my mind why I reacted suddenly to the sight or the thought of snakes in such a ridiculous manner, because I knew I'm not afraid of snakes, and yet I'm doing this. I would act nutty, drive down the road, see a dead snake in the road, and I'd scream and pull both feet up into the car seat. I'm driving. It's a dead snake. How stupid is that? That makes no sense. See, it's not in your head. It wasn't in my head. It wasn't a mental thing, so psychology didn't help. All of man's solutions did not help. Didn't matter how much willpower I put forward. I'm not going to be afraid of snakes. I'm not going to be afraid of snakes. It wasn't based on the Word of God, and it didn't do me any good. It didn't set me free. What set me free was when I realized I have a will, and I am in charge of my will. And once I knew I'm in charge of this will, and I will not yield to fear ever again. It's a demonic spirit, and I will not yield to it. I will not yield to fear. Not now, not yesterday, not tomorrow, not 6 years from now, not 100 years from now, not eternity future. I will not yield to fear based on the Word of God. One, immediately I was tested. Wasn't 30 minutes. Wasn't 30 minutes I was tested. Oh, will you really be that? Yeah, I can make you afraid. I'm going to put you in a situation so scary, so bad, so terrible, you're going to be afraid. Oh, I felt fear, but I wouldn't yield to it. I would not yield to it. And as soon as that opportunity to fear was passed and I did not yield, I felt that spirit leave. Didn't want to be there anymore. It wasn't any fun to goose me anymore. When you see someone acting absolutely irrationally, use your authority, put a stop to it. No, devil, you're not going to act up in my presence. You don't have to get over and yell and scream. The devil hears you. When you speak with authority, he knows exactly who's speaking. I have my authority. I'm sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And I will not allow you to throw your temper tantrum here. No, we're not doing that. If you're regularly around a person who throws a temper tantrum or any other kind of tantrum that you can see is goosed by the devil, it's they do maybe do something natural, but then it's like over the top. Okay? That's what that fear was to me. It was a natural, people are afraid of snakes. Ah, that's scary. Okay? But no, this was over the top. It was demonic. Okay? Anger that's over the top. Demonic. Okay? Just take authority over it. It's not a big deal. It's no different than getting that tick off. Just get over it. Take authority. How do you do that? In the name of Jesus. Devil, I take authority over you. You kingdom of darkness, you will not manifest yourself in my presence. In the name of Jesus. Now, sometimes you might have the opportunity to speak to that person and pray with them. Pray with them to accept Jesus. To renounce the kingdom of darkness and everything he stands for, and to embrace Jesus. Simple. It's easy. I renounce you. You're not my king anymore. Jesus is my Lord and Savior. And I renounce everything to do with the kingdom of darkness. Then bring them to church. Invite them. That's easy. You don't have to be weird and crazy about it. In fact, please don't. Please don't be weird and crazy. It's simple. And it's easy, and it is so true. It'll set people free. And in this day and age, people need to be set free. They need to be set free. See, in other countries, they recognize, yeah, that's demonic, because they got witch doctors and crazy stuff. We think we're all just good, and it can't possibly be. But the devil is trying to run rampant on it. So just put a stop to it. Put a stop to it in your realm, in your house, in your sphere of influence. Pray for people. Bless them. And I'm going to end with this one thing. A blessing is something you would like to come to pass. A curse is something you would not like to come to pass. Bless people. Don't curse them. All right. I pray that you have enjoyed a little sharpening of your blades, been encouraged, been blessed, and now you're ready to go out and slay giants. Father, I thank you so very much for this precious time of remembering those good things that you've taught us, of stirring up and bringing back to our remembrance those things and sharpening our blades, Father. Thank you for this time. Father, I ask you that we would hear from you more clearly, with more clarity and more confidence and more consistently, Lord, that we would know that we know that we know that we've heard from you and the confidence and the boldness that comes from that. I thank you, Father, for your blessings on this church family and on all that we possess and all that we are put our hands to. Father, I thank you for it. I speak life and health and blessing over every member of this church. And I thank you, Father, that your word is spoken boldly by our pastors. I thank you for anointing them and causing them to minister, Father, exactly the way you want every time. I thank you for the presence of God in this church, Father, that they have taught us how to serve you. And I ask you to continue to bless them, continue to minister life and health to them. And Father, I thank you that that life and health, as they have it, that it flows down through us. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Final thought. Anybody had problems with toothache? Please come see me. I would love to pray with you. Praise the Lord. You're dismissed. Toothache. Okay.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Have a great week.